Go to TMA Electric in Port Huron for all your electrical needs. From service upgrades to LED lighting to a full system check and oil change for your generator, along with preventative maintenance. Call 810-266-1450 or stop by. They're at 2514 Chestnut in Port Huron.
Well, we are at the tail end of a good old-fashioned Michigan snowstorm. Our winter storm warning still in effect until noon today. It's still coming down out there, too. We're just talking here in the studio about how much snow is out there. We're guessing probably around 8 or 9 inches, hoping that it comes to an end by this afternoon. We'll detail the weather forecast in just a few minutes. As mentioned earlier, this Sunday, leading into the outdoor game at Lake Tahoe between the Boston Bruins and the Philadelphia Flyers, NBC is going to be airing Doc Emmerich, the voice of hockey, and he's on the line with us right now. Mike, good morning, and how you been?
Good, doing well, and watching the snow blow around out here and just realizing that it's pitchers and catchers tomorrow.
Oh, thank goodness.
A local sunset of 6:03. In 3.5 weeks, it's daylight saving time. And on Easter Sunday, the local sunset will be 8 o'clock.
So yeah.
We're getting there. It's just, it doesn't seem like it today.
It's got to be a comfort to look at this kind of weather and know that you don't have to make a flight today, you don't have to go to an airport, you're not going to be stuck in a hotel somewhere. I mean, I know, I'm sure that you miss calling the games, but boy, the travel, that had to get old at some point.
That was the number one thing, and really the flying. After 7 years of riding buses in the IHL and the American League, the flying was the one thing that I liked the most. That was the most appealing thing in 1980 when I first got into it.
I'll bet it was.
And it got to be probably the greatest downside by the time it was over because there was so much of it. There was a period of time when I was 65 years old that I did 8 games in 10 days in 8 different cities, and that meant to do the job well, to be at the morning practice in each of those cities, which was at 10:30, the day of the game, because that's really where you learn what you need for that night. And so you were going through the metal detector at 5:30 or 6 in the morning to make that flight that got you into that city in time to be at the practice at 10:30. So yes, that's the one comforting thing about looking out the window this morning and realizing that I don't have that to do. Yeah, there are times that you miss it for sure, but I have absolutely no regrets about being here and having this new chapter in my life going.
I want to talk a little bit about this special that NBC has put together. They have interviews with the likes of Gary Bettman, Wayne Gretzky, Sidney Crosby, Blake Coleman, I mean, a whole bunch of folks that you worked with at NBC, Al Michaels and Bob
Costas. See, I didn't know a couple of these. You've actually unveiled some things because most of this is a surprise to me. I don't know what they're doing.
Oh, well, I shouldn't have done that then.
No, it's no problem. I wasn't aware of Blake Coleman, who scored the last goal that I called in the final, and Gary Bettman I was not aware of, although I'm not surprised. I did sit for an interview, and the people that were involved with NBC at the McLaurin Theater were very impressed with it and were very impressed with Port Huron. And I would love to talk about what they had to say.
Yeah.
But no, I'm not aware of a lot of what's going on. Joyce and I are going to sit here Sunday afternoon and watch it, and there'll probably be a lot of surprises in it. But I've seen a couple of promos in which Bill Clement and Wayne Gretzky and Sidney Crosby and T.J. Oshie and Eddie Olczyk are involved. So I know that they are. But as to who else is, I told them I really don't need to know. And you guys edit it and do whatever you want. Vinny Costello is the supreme sports editor at NBC, and he's in charge. And I always trust Vinny to do. He's done a lot of the pieces that I've voiced before, and so I'm not sure what all is coming of this. But he did request one of my old practice tapes when I was a college guy sitting in a corner section in Fort Wayne. He said, "Do you have any of those old tapes?" And they're embarrassing. And I said, "Yeah, I think I probably do." So I gave him 10 or 15 seconds of that. I'm not sure if he's using that, but it'll be a revelation for me. But the people that came to McMorran, they went through the whole complex with Rob Churchill the day before, and they decided on the theater rather than the arena. They said, you know, your life has been around arenas, but this is a reflective thing, so how about we go into the theater and have you on stage and we'll interview you there. And so they stayed over near the bridge, and they saw some freighters, and these are people, two were from New York, one was from Chicago, two were from Cincinnati. None of them had ever been to Port Huron before. And even though there were some limitations of restaurants and everything else, they basically spent 2 days here and they worked dawn to dusk the whole time. But they were very impressed not only with the town, but also with the facility and with the stage. And then I got a chance, of course, to tell them as we were preparing and they were getting all of their gear set up on stage, on who the people were who had performed on that stage before. And they were very impressed with that. And I told them stories about Milton Berle. And, of course, they were NBC people, so Scott Hamilton, and how the media were allowed to sit in the Juliet boxes and watch closed-circuit telecasts of Muhammad Ali's fights. Mm. And all of those old stories that some of us gray-haired people knew about. The history of McMorran, because we lived through the early years of it.
It does have such an incredible history. I mean, when you start to think about the folks that have performed in that theater, and then, of course, next door, the arena has a great theater. You know, the Kraft Hockeyville contest every year where they try to, you know, find the...
I know. I keep hoping they'll win it, and I don't have sometime. Any input.
I know you don't. It truly
is. I wish
is.
I did, but... Yeah, I don't have any input in it, but they compete so hard for it every year from Port Huron, too.
Well, it's going to be
one
nice.
One of these years, just keep trying.
One of these years, but in the meantime, the complex will be in the national spotlight this Sunday afternoon when we get to see a retrospective of your career and your interview there, and I think that's really special. That's really going to be neat. I'm going to have to ask you the question that I'm sure everybody is asking you these days, and that is, how's retirement?
I don't really have a grasp of it yet, because shortly after I announced the retirement, the book launched the next day, and it was just through coincidence because the launch date had been determined 6 months before and long before it had decided to retire. And there were a number of talk shows, 95 in all, that I did over a two-month span. That led up to Christmas. And then... we agreed at the time that I decided to retire, NBC and myself, that I would do video essays. Well, right after the new year, the NHL season resumed on the 13th of January, and the first of the video essays started shortly thereafter, and I didn't realize how much preparation was going to go into it, but the first one is, I'm not sure what the schedule is, but it will be sometime this weekend. And it will pertain, since the games are in Lake Tahoe, there's one Saturday night on NBC and another one Sunday afternoon. The one Sunday afternoon is Bruins Flyers, and it's Vegas Golden Knights and Colorado Avalanche on Saturday night. And because Lake Tahoe is not that far from where the 1960 men's Olympic hockey team won the first ever hockey gold medals for the country, it seemed like a good connection there. A couple of years ago, I was privileged to go there to sit with five members of that squad and get their reflections on that time. And keep in mind, these guys got expense money of $1 a day. They left paying jobs and took time off to play a little hockey and represent the country. One national magazine suggested that they would finish last out of the nine teams, and they played seven games and won them all. They beat Canada and the Soviet Union, who were the two teams that were expected to win. And of the 17 guys on the team, 9 are still living, and they are in their 80s. But they, to me, deserved their moment back in the spotlight again. And because it was only 40 miles away from where these two games were being played, it seemed like the right time to put them back in the spotlight again. So that's what we're doing. I'm not sure when those are going to run this weekend, but it'll be in conjunction with the Lake Tahoe game.
Well, that is so cool. We'll be watching for that. You enjoy these outdoor games. I think over your career, these outdoor games were a lot of fun for you to call, weren't they?
Yes, and the snow that's falling today reminds me of Michigan Stadium, and probably the most joyful game was that one, because you had about half Leafs fans and half Red Wings fans, and because of the snow, the Leafs almost were late for the game because they were in with a lot of the traffic on their bus and almost didn't get to Michigan Stadium that day on time to take the warm-up. They did, just barely, but there wasn't parking on the golf course like there usually is for football because of all the snow, and parking was jammed all up and down the streets, and people had to push each other out of snowdrifts. And I remember seeing Red Wings fans pushing Maple Leafs fans' cars up and down the street, helping them out. And it went into overtime, and it went to a shootout before Toronto won. It was just a joyful day, and 105,000 people, which is still the record.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, we're going to be watching NBC this Sunday. We'll be watching, because this is going to be such a neat special. I mean, when you start looking at the names of those that are involved with it, the fact that you're going to be on stage at McMorrin being interviewed and talking about your career. Can't wait to see it, Doc. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
I've got to tell you, I can't wait either. I'm not sure what all will be involved, but it'll be fun seeing some surprise people. I'm aware now of 5 or 6 that are involved. I'm not sure how many others. But thank you two guys for getting up and slugging it out again this morning to be there for us.
Wasn't sure I was going to make it in, but
we aren't going.
Yeah, Scott,
we appreciate you very much being up at such an early hour and shoveling out so that you could get the station going.
Well, you know how the drill goes. You know, somebody's got to be here to tell everybody else to stay home, right?
Well, in 1973, I only had to walk 2 houses away. Mike Benedict's mother, her name was Dorothy Myers, was at 828 Huron Avenue, owned that house, and I had a room there. So if the snow got really bad, all I had to do was walk 2 doors down to do the 6:35 sports. So I didn't have as difficult a time as you two guys did coming in.
Well, we made it. We lived to see another day, Doc. Always a pleasure. Really appreciate your time.
Good for you.
And
thanks so much.
And we'll talk again real soon. Take care.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.